We're continuing looking at the miracles of Jesus, and I'm not going to talk real long today, but I do want to still get into this word because God's put this on my heart, and we're going to look at the story and the miracle of Jesus calming the storm today. It's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app if you want to, and if you're at home watching us with us, worshiping with us online, thank you so much. You're part of the Red Life family no matter where you are. And so in the building or online, we welcome you. We thank you. My name is Justin, if you don't know that. And you can find all of our information, sign up for Growth Track and Next Steps, all that kind of good stuff at redlifechurch.com 24/7. Let's dig into the Word of God here today. You guys ready? Are you ready? All right, let's go. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 says, "Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly," everybody say suddenly. "Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping." Say, "Jesus was sleeping." "The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.'" Verse 26, "Jesus responded, 'Why are you afraid? You have so little faith.' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm." Say, "Suddenly." "The disciples were amazed. 'Who is this man?' they asked. 'Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence in this room with us right now, wherever we are, in this sanctuary, in this moment, God, in our living room, in our car, around a break table, Lord God, at our kitchen table, wherever we're encountering you and having a time with you today, Lord, I thank you that you are with us and you are meeting us. You are speaking to us. And Lord, you are ready to change our lives, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Put your hand in your belly right now. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen." Have you ever experienced a sudden storm? You were going along, everything was going fine, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a wave came and rocked your boat. Listen, I actually, not this summer, but the last summer, I literally experienced this. My family, all my family, my mom, dad, sister, her family, we were all celebrating. We usually do a thing on my dad's boat where we celebrate kind of the May birthdays, because we have a billion birthdays in like April and May, and that time. So we were out on Brookville Lake last summer, and we'd been hanging out all day, cruising around, doing lake stuff, whatever you do. And all of a sudden, literally out of nowhere, it was a scary, dangerous storm. Like, you ever been out there on the lake, you've been on the water, and you've watched the storm come in? You can literally see the dividing line of rain and a wall of water and where the cloud is bracketed. Well, we could experience that come through, but I mean, it got super scary. The rain, it was one of these rains where the rain was coming in sideways. We were trying, and the wind was blowing so hard, we were trying to, Seb and I, my brother-in-law, we were trying to get the canopy undone on the boat, but the wind was just blowing that all over the place, and the rain was coming in sideways. And at one point, Seb and I were both just kind of holding on to the canopy so it wouldn't blow away while the waves were jumping the boat. It felt like they were jumping the boat 14 feet out of the water, although it was probably like a foot and a half out of water. But it was wild. And then we were pulling up. So we're all just getting soaked, and it's a bad situation. Everybody's trying to dock. And if you've ever been out there, you know they got the right at Ainsley's, right there in the middle of the lake. They got that dock right there where the gas station is. And I'm talking, the waves were crashing over, the waves of the lake were crashing over the dock where you were docked at. And there's nothing funnier than watching a bunch of fairly inexperienced boaters trying to dock on that kind of situation. They're trying to get there. I mean, boats are just getting slammed into the dock. And it was a pretty rough situation. And I really, the whole time, I'm just thinking of that moment and in this moment in Jesus where all of a sudden, you know, life happens and a storm can come up out of nowhere. A rogue wave can seem to just blow right into your life and just begin to turn everything upside down and cause a bunch of ruckus and a bunch of madness to happen in your life. And here's what you need to understand about storms. Listen to me close. When it comes to storms, whether it's a real storm or just the metaphorical storms that we experience in life, this is pretty common and pretty fair to say when it comes to this, is this. When it comes to storms, listen to me close. When it comes to storms, you are probably in one, you are coming out of one, or you're heading into one. Amen, somebody? You're probably either in a storm right now, or you're on your way to a storm right now, or you've just come through a storm right now, because storms happen in life. Sudden storms are a universal part of our experience in life. This is why this particular miracle, Jesus calming the storm, this is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not in the Gospel of John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as what's called the Synoptic Gospels, meaning that there's a lot of familiar, the content in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it repeats itself. Anybody ever started in Matthew, read all the way through? You're like, man, you read through Matthew, that's great. You get to Mark, you're like, okay, I feel like this is like a shortened version. I read all this in Matthew. You get to Luke, it's in a longer version. You see it again, then you get to John, you're like, where'd this guy John come from? The reason for that is actually very simple. Matthew, Mark, and Luke wrote their gospels and their accounts of Jesus' life all around the same time. John doesn't write his gospel until some 30 years or 40 years after the resurrection and after all the other information is out there. So John had the chance to see some of the stuff that wasn't written yet, which is why like 80% of the gospel of John isn't mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this exact moment, this exact miracle, is one of the only miracles of Jesus, in fact, that is mentioned in all three of these Gospels. And not only is it mentioned in all three Gospels, it's almost mentioned, the story is almost verbatim in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. How many know that's a miracle right there in and of itself? If I took you three right here on the front row outside and I told you each the same thing, I told you one sentence, probably between the three of you, you would each put your own little spin on it, and it could be something, each one of you would have something different to say. Most likely, that's just the way human nature works very often. How many understand what I'm saying? So for three, but here's what's universal about this. And the reason that it's in all three Gospels, and the reason that it's such a universal moment, and the reason we understand is because every single one of us in life will go through storms and experience sudden storms out of nowhere, seemingly. You have Matthew. Matthew is a backslidden Jew. Matthew was a tax collector who came across Jesus, and Jesus said, Matthew, you're called to be one of my disciples. Matthew was a religious Jew who had backslidden on the traditions of his family and the traditions of Jehovah God. Not only was he a backslidden Jew, as a tax collector, he would have been viewed as an outcast and as a traitor to his people and to his family and to his culture. And yet, so in Matthew, you have a reformed, a backslidden religious person who finds that this situation of needing to know Jesus to get him through the storms of life applies to his life. And then you have Mark. Now, Mark, his gospel is quite a bit different. In fact, Mark wasn't one of the disciples. Mark traveled with Peter. So the gospel of Mark can often be called the gospel of Peter, because we know that Mark got most of his information for these stories and for the life of Jesus from his time with the disciple Peter. And so Peter was the person who stayed with God. He wasn't a backslidden Jewish person like Matthew was. He was still following the rules. Then when he encountered Jesus, recognized him as the Messiah, and then Peter was elevated and became one of the three, one of the top apostles who led that moment. But guess what? Even Peter and in Mark's gospel, who followed all the rules and did what you're supposed to do, and it was a leader in the church and was faithful in everything. Thank God. He also said, you know what? You're going to experience storms in life. You're going to need to experience this in your life. Amen. Luke comes at it from a completely different perspective. Luke was not a Jew. Luke was a Gentile. Not only was Luke a Gentile, but Luke was a doctor, which puts him in one of the higher class categories in his day. Peter's a blue-collar fisherman. Luke is an educated, well-to-do, respected doctor in his time. Not a religious person, a Gentile, was not a worshiper of God, did not follow the Old Testament, yet encountered Jesus and realized Jesus loved him too and died for his sins too. And so even Luke, the doctor, the educated one, probably someone with a little money, probably someone a little more affluent, probably comes from a different background than Peter and even Mark and Matthew does. Even he says, hey, I know I'm in a different class. I know I'm in a different socioeconomic stratus as many of the people that are reading this and are writing about this, but I experience storms too. I go through sudden storms too, because when it comes to storms, listen, you're either in one, going to one, or coming out of one. Everyone needs to know what to do when a storm comes your way. And we're going to see a couple of things I think is really important to remember when a sudden storm comes out of nowhere and begins to mess with your life. The first thing you need to remember is this. Don't miss this. Listen to me close. The Bible says, that when the waves and the storm comes, where's Jesus? Where is he? He's asleep. Now, these guys on the boat, they're not soft. They're not exaggerating. Many of these men are fishermen. Peter in particular, John, they know the Sea of Galilee, which is where the story's taking place on. They make a living actually on the boat. They make a living on the Sea of Galilee. So they have experienced storms on this lake before. I want to get that right out there. So for them to be this afraid, this isn't just them exaggerating. This isn't just them making a big deal out of nothing. This is a legitimate threat to their lives, and they're trying to bail buckets of water out of the boat, and they're looking at Jesus, go, man, Jesus is asleep in the boat. In fact, the one little difference in, I believe it's Mark's gospel, the Bible says that when the disciples woke up Jesus, they asked him this question. They said, Jesus, don't you even care that we're about to drown? Wake up and do something, man, come on. Don't you even care? And this is one thing you need to remember right off the bat when it comes to storms. Listen, don't miss this now. Just because Jesus is asleep or feels like Jesus is silent in your storm doesn't mean he doesn't care. Amen, somebody? Just because Jesus is asleep, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It might just mean that he has another plan for your storm. Just stay in faith. Don't be afraid. Trust in God and know that he's with you in the boat, whether it's raining or shining. Amen, somebody? Don't mistake what looks like Jesus laying back. Don't mistake what looks like God's silence for God saying, I don't care. It just means that God has a plan that he hasn't informed you and me of yet. Amen, somebody? I said, God has a plan that he may not have informed you and me of yet. Don't be fearful. Don't worry. Stay in the boat with Jesus. Amen, somebody? Amen. Yeah. And thankfully, when the storm does come, and if we do get worried, we do let fear take over. I love the idea and the fact here that when Jesus is woken up, he gently and graciously, as he does with me and he does with you many times, leads them from a place of fear to a place of faith. He says, why are you so afraid? He gets woken up. Why are you so afraid? Have faith in God. Don't fear. Don't doubt. Don't worry. Amen? And that's what Jesus always wants to do in the middle of our storm, is take us. And if we'll allow him to, he will always lead you and I from a place of fear to a place of faith when we get Jesus involved in our storm. Amen? So don't think that just because he's silent or just because it looks like he's sleeping means that he doesn't care. He cares. Listen, he cares for you and me. Amen, somebody? The second thing I want you to understand about this storm that we got to see here, you got to do a little digging. You're only going to get this. I don't have time to read it all. But you're going to have to read before this. You're going to have to read after this a little bit to understand where I'm going here. But I want you to listen to me close. Just because a storm comes doesn't mean you've lost your way. Amen? In fact, let me say this. Just because you're in the boat with Jesus doesn't mean that you're never going to go through a storm. And just because you go through a storm doesn't mean somehow that Jesus has abandoned you and you are off the plan of God and away from the plan of God. In fact, what we're going to see here is that not only can you experience a storm and be right in the smack dab middle of the perfect will and kingdom assignment that God has on your life, but we're going to see that there is, in fact, a kingdom assignment that God has for you on the other side of the storm if we'll hold on and stay in faith. Amen? What are you talking about here, preacher? If you read the story, if you read the verses that happens, what happens right after this is that when Jesus and the disciples come through the waves and the wind and they land on the other side of the shore, when they get there, the first person that they encounter is this demoniac, this demonic spirit that's possessed this man that has afflicted and caused trouble on this entire region of people for years. The Bible, one of the Gospels says it was one guy. A couple others say it was two guys. So it was probably two guys, but it was a main guy. For whatever reason, just didn't mention the other guy. But the Bible tells us that this was a man possessed by a demonic spirit, and that the people, his family, his friends, and the town people, the town council, the mayor, the governor, whatever, they had tried to chain him up in the tombs many times, and the demonic spirit would overwhelm his life, and he would break his chains and just run around wreaking all kinds of havoc. And the first thing Jesus does when he shows up is he rebukes that spirit. And in fact, he's going to send that spirit, that demonic spirit, which is called legion, he says, because there are many. So it was not just one demon spirit, but it was a herd. It was a legion of demonic activity in this area through this one person's life. And he rebukes the spirit. And the Bible says that demonic spirit goes into a herd of pigs and runs a herd of pigs off the side of a cliff. That's the kind of destruction that demonic activity will bring into our lives. And Jesus was on his way to deal with that spirit when the storm showed up, probably trying to stop him or buffer him from his kingdom assignment. I've got news for somebody today. Listen, just because you have wind and waves blowing into your boat and breaking over the bows of your boat, just because you feel like you're about to sink, doesn't mean that there's not a kingdom assignment on your life. In fact, I would argue that because you have storms coming into your life is a real good indicator that there's a kingdom assignment coming right around the corner. Amen. Just hold on. Amen, somebody? Amen. You have a kingdom assignment on your life. We have a kingdom assignment on this church. Come on, somebody. We have a word from God, a mission that he has put us on. You have a word from God in your life, something he has called you to do. Listen, don't you dare let the wind and the waves stop you and make you think that God has somehow forgotten you. In fact, I got news for you. The Gospel of John described Jesus this way. He said Jesus was the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, John chapter 1. Amen. Jesus was the living embodiment of every promise and word from God, Old Testament and New, made flesh, walking amongst us. Okay? Yeah. The word and the call and the assignment that God has on your life that comes from Jesus, that's wrapped up in him, that's in his persona. In fact, Colossians kind of says it this way. Paul says that when you gave your life to God, when you gave your life to Jesus, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, now your life is hidden in Christ with God. Yeah. So I can't understand. So if I want to know myself, I've got to get to know Jesus as a son and daughter of God. Okay? And along with that is the assignment and the word and the destiny and the calling and the anointing and the gifting and the purpose and the mission that God has put you on this planet for. Okay, now stay with me. So when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, yes, it was Jesus the man. Yes, it was Jesus God, but it was also Jesus the Word with the disciples. You follow me so far? And this is what I want you to know. And if you're in the middle of a storm right now and you feel like you're taking on water and you feel like you're going down and you feel like you're about to drown and you're just like the disciples, you're thinking, man, doesn't even care, doesn't even know. How is he silent? How is he asleep? I want you to know something real quick. Listen to me close. Not only was Jesus, the Son of God, with them in the boat, but the Word was with them as well. And let me tell you something, friend. The Word with you in the boat is bigger than the waves outside. The word with you in the boat is more powerful than the wind coming against you. The word that God has spoken over your life is bigger than the waves trying to break against you. Stay in the boat with the word, friend. Amen. Amen? There's a kingdom assignment on the other side of the storm. There's a kingdom assignment on the other side of the storm, and the word with me is bigger than the wave outside of me. The third thing I want you to know that we need to remember when sudden storms come. Everybody say suddenly. That word is used twice here. It says in verse 24, suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake. But then in verse 26, it says, then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great, great calm. Listen to me close. If you're in a storm, you need to get this. When you go through a storm that you're headed to right now, you need to get this, and you're going to look back and see this if you're coming out of a storm right now. Listen. A sudden word from Jesus can bring a sudden calm to your sudden storm. Amen? A sudden word from Jesus can bring a sudden calm to your sudden storm. So if you're in the middle of a storm right now, if something just all of a sudden, man, everything was going along great. You've been rowing the boat. You've been doing what Jesus told you to do. You've been following your assignment. You've been doing, you know, you've been doing everything that God is putting your heart to do. And all of a sudden, wave just comes and seems to knock everything out of whack. All of a sudden, your life, your boat, your family, your job, everything seems to be taken on water, seems like it's going down. Listen, that is not the time to neglect your walk with God. That is not the time to miss out on spending time with Jesus. That is not the time to push back and push away from the family of God and push away from the presence of God. Friend, that is the time to dig into your Bible even more. That is the time to dig into worship even more. That is the time to be more faithful than ever with every area of your life, because it's in those moments that you're going to hear a word from Jesus. And when I'm in a storm, I need a sudden word from God that can bring a sudden calm to my storm. Amen. And just as suddenly as a wave and the wind can show up from out of nowhere, is just as suddenly as a word from Jesus can show up and say, peace, be still. Peace, be still. And I've got real, 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 real great news for you this morning. Man, this blesses me. This helps get me through. Listen. The Bible says Jesus is the same, Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen to me real close, friend. Jesus is still speaking, peace be still, to every storm in your life. Jesus still has control over the wind and the waves. The wind and the waves and the sudden storms of life are still surrendered and subject to the word of Jesus, and Jesus is still speaking, peace be still to my storm. Amen, somebody? He's still getting up and rebuking the wind and the waves when I wake him up to get involved with my storm. Which begs back to the question, how can Jesus sleep through this storm? I mean, did he take an Ambien? Did he take some melatonin? Like, what's the deal here? Because experienced boatmen, sailors, fishermen, men who make a living, men who have lived their lives in this area and on the water, they were scared for their lives. And yet Jesus is able to sleep through the storm. I'll never forget, I've probably shared this story before. Years ago, before Michaela may have just been born, if she was born at all, we had moved to Louisville, Kentucky to help. We left full-time ministry to help volunteer at a church plant that we felt God called us to help start. And I had this old, I told the story maybe a couple weeks ago, where we had, LeVan's car got hit, insurance paid for the money we didn't have for us to make the move, and also had enough for us to get a second vehicle that we needed. And I found some very, very cheap, like, Dodge Caravan that I just credit God led me to some real old lady who hadn't driven it very much, and it just all worked out great. I think I paid like $1,000 for this car. And so that was a blessing too. And I had this third shift job, and it was in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden somebody broke into the place where we were working and said, man, there's a couple of cars on fire in the parking lot. We went outside, looked out, and sure enough, my whole front end of my car, I'd parked behind somebody, their car had a gas leak or something and started the fire. I was right behind them, and literally the entire front end of, like, down to the engine block was just melted. It just was gone. So we called the fire department. It's like 2 in the morning, they come out there, they do that. But we're out there in about an hour, we get back to work. It's like an hour later, maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. I go back to work. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be able to start working again. And this person sitting next to me, worked next to me, said, man, I don't know how you're so calm. I would be flipping out. There's no way I could come back to work. And I'm not trying to show. I didn't have any explanation except just all I said was, man, that must just be, I just have a peace. I have a peace of God. I know everything's going to work out, man. God, I think what I said was something like, God gave me that car, he'll give me another one. Which he did. Insurance came through again. I'll be honest, there was a series of like 4 or 5 years in our life where several times God used insurance. So pay your insurance premiums, people. Because God, I'm serious, God used insurance several times through a period of our life to provide when there was no other way to provide, and turned what should have been a real problem into a blessing. And so I didn't have any explanation. It must just be the peace of God. And this is what I can say years later, looking back on that and looking at the miracles of Jesus here, is this. You look at how is Jesus so calm? How is he able to sleep through the storm? Listen, friend, you can sleep through your storm when you know who made the sea. Amen? You can sleep through your storm when you know who created the sea. When I know that I am in relationship, when I know the one who created the very winds and the waves that might be that seem to be purposed against my life, when I know the one who has ultimate authority over every raindrop, over every wind, over the sea, when I know him, friend, I know that I don't have to worry about the sea that seems like it's against me, because the one I know in the boat with me created that very sea, and if he's not worried about it, I don't have to be worried about it. If he's able to sleep through it and get some rest in it, I don't have to let it keep me up at night. Come on, somebody. I said I can sleep through my storm because I know who created the sea, in Jesus' name. And that, friend, is Jesus. Amen. Stand over his place this morning. We just bow your heads with me for a moment and close your eyes. I just really feel like Somebody needs to come into a relationship today. Somebody needs to know the one who created the sea. In fact, you might be online, you might be watching online, you might be with us online right now, you might be in this building, but man, if you've got a storm that's been coming against your life, and listen, you might know your storm real well, and I just feel like right now the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know your storm, why don't you know the one who made the sea? Why don't you get to know the one who's got authority and control over that storm right now? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, man, if you're in this place today, or if you're online today, there's steps to do that. There's directions to follow in the description. And we encourage you to pray along with us. But man, if you're in this place today, online or in the building, you say, man, I want to know the one who made the sea. I'm real comfortable with my storm. I know my storm. Man, I want to know the one who's got authority over it. Man, if you, listen, that's real simple. You can do that today by coming into a relationship and surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Because not only did this Jesus create the sea, and not only is this Jesus still speaking, peace be still, to your storm, but that same Jesus 2,000 years ago gave his life on a cross, shed his blood, allowed himself to be nailed hands and feet to a tree, gave his life, shed his blood for you and for me, so that today, right now, 2,000 years later, you and I could know the one who ultimately creates the sea. You and I could know the one who speaks. Listen, you don't just have to hear me talk about it. Man, you can know the one who speaks peace be still for your own life. You can know the one who created the very sea that's coming against you. You can know him today. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what crazy sin you might be struggling with in your life. It doesn't matter all the reasons that you can think of, you know, that you're not a religious person and you don't really know the Bible and you weren't really brought up in church, and man, you got all these issues and all these things you're struggling with, man. Hey, listen, join the club, friend. We're all struggling with issues. We've all got stuff we're dealing with. We've all got storms we're dealing with, man. None of us have it figured out. The only thing that I have figured out is this, that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus died on the cross for me, and I don't have to, I might get scared of the wind, but ultimately, man, I can find peace in the storm. I can find peace in the storm. And it's not because I'm such a rock, and it's not because I have it all figured out. It is only because I know that my Savior, who gave his life for me, is with me right now. Amen? Man, you can have that same peace. You can have that same peace. You can know the one who still speaks, peace be still, right now today. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to call you down front. I am going to ask everyone in this room to bow your head and close your eyes just as a way to make this personal. This is a way, this is not about the person next to you or the person behind you, the person you came with today. This is not about making anybody happy. This is not about, this is only can be done between you and God. My grandparents and my parents are Christians, and I guess that makes me a Christian too. Unfortunately, friend, it doesn't work that way. Jesus, God doesn't have many grandchildren. He has sons and daughters. And we become his son through a relationship with Jesus. If you're in this place right now, you say, man, I need to surrender. I want to know the one that created the sea. I want to know the one that speaks peace to my storm. I want to know the one that gave his life for me 2,000 years ago. I want to know this Jesus. We just right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. We just right now raise your hand all over this room. Man, I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand so we can pray. I want everyone in this room to pray this out loud with me so you can hear with your own ears. If you're with us, if you're worshiping at home, I want you to do this too. Pray this with me right now. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. So I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me a new creature as I follow you every day from this moment on. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for making me your son or daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, make it real. Make it real, just like your word says you will do. Let it bear witness with our spirit. Lord, whether in this building or in a living room, God, bear witness with our spirit that we have been made children of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, man, I want you to know in just a moment we're going to dismiss. We're going to sing for a moment. Have a time of worship before we leave if you need to. These altars are open. If you need prayer, we're here. If you raised your hand or prayed that prayer, maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you prayed the prayer. You thought I was tricking you. I wasn't. Oh, man, please come see me. Come find me. Come find one of us, Judy and Darryl, some of these guys that are here today. Don, we'd love to pray with you, man, if you have any questions. If you don't want to do that, you're like, yeah, that's a little too weird. I don't know these people. Listen, go to our website, redlifechurch.com. Right in the middle of the page, it says, are you ready to say yes to Jesus? And we got some tools there to help you navigate that, ways to connect with us, man, through maybe a little more, whatever you're comfortable with, man. You want to come talk in person, we're here. You want to do it digitally, man, we're here. Just get to Jesus. Just get to Jesus. Amen, somebody. Lord, I just hear you speaking peace be still to somebody's storm right now. Lord, I pray that you will open our ears to hear that right now. Lord, open our ears to receive that word from you right now. I thank you, Lord, that we can sleep through our storm because we know the one who created the sea. In Jesus' name, stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. 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 Wonderful peace. Even in the middle of a sudden storm. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship for a moment before we go.